Welcome to UN Gender Focus. This week we'll look at what it's like to be gay in the Caribbean country of Belize.
I know that I will be forever under threat of violence. It doesn't take violence of many, it takes violence from just one person.
We'll be hearing Caleb Orozco's story of survival, and later how the United Nations and the international community is responding. 5 years ago, Caleb Orozco challenged the criminalisation of sodomy, which is detailed in Section 53 of the Belize Criminal Code. The statute calls for a 10-year prison term for carnal intercourse against the order of nature. Like many former colonies, Belize inherited the law from the British. Caleb Orozco won the historic case, and just last month, Section 53 was overturned as a violation of the Constitution. But his lonely battle against discrimination continues, as he told Jocelyn Sambira.
I've had to fight my way through groups. I've had to deal with attempted robberies. I've had to, for the lack of a better word, butch up in regards to defending my personal security.
And for you personally, before and maybe after what you went through, is it safe for you to walk in the streets?
I know that I will be forever under threat of violence. It doesn't take violence of many, it takes violence from just one person. I knew that I have to avoid crowds. I knew I have to avoid places that I suspect have people who are, for the lack of a better word, not educated enough or sensitive enough to sexuality and gender identity issues. I can tolerate verbal abuse going to buy my groceries because the shop is right around the corner and I can walk back. But outside of that, I always have to watch for children from elementary school to high school making it their business to stone me, saying whatever name they have in the book, and knowing that I can't go back and deal with them properly as I should, because it becomes even worse. So I have to navigate all that every single day and be conscious of who's coming in or near me, especially at my office, and be ensuring that the car that I have works, because the car is really the center of my security.
Can you go to the police if you feel threatened?
Well, I did once. I had a neighbor throw a bipedal at my head. That officer then shifted my file to another person. That officer then took 2 weeks to charge my neighbor with throwing a missile, using indecent words. That officer took nearly 6 to 9 months, 4 summons later to get my case to court, and then I realized that the prosecutor got my file 30 minutes before my case. So unless you are very strong and your own legal advocate, justice can be fleeting in our system.
What keeps you going?
I'm a pig-headed, stubborn mule. I have a passion for justice, and nobody defines how I live my life except me. But ultimately, it's really understanding that you perpetrate your own mistreatment by remaining silent. And I'm not about being silent.
Do you hope it gets a ripple effect in the Caribbean?
We become a framework for identifying strategy, best practice, political engagement, litigation engagement, and so we have to win. We just have to.
Caleb Orozco's story is just one of countless examples of the discrimination and danger faced by gay men across the world. He's been able to tell his story at the first ever meeting at ministerial level held at the United Nations, focusing on the progress made forging equality for the lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender, or LGBT, community. Michelle Bachelet, the president of Chile, told the meeting that violations against individuals on the basis of their sexual orientation and gender identity is a human rights issue.
Fighting for LGBT rights is fighting for human rights. Whenever a teenager is struggling in school against homophobic bullying, we must protect him. Whenever a transgender woman is being discriminated at work because of her gender identity, our institutions must prevent and correct such discrimination. Whenever a same-sex couple wishes to form a family, our legal system must grant that family and its members equal protection as every family.
The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said he learnt about the dangers facing lesbian, gay, bi and trans people by listening. And he encouraged others to do likewise.
Everyone who lacks understanding should listen closely. The facts are disturbing. Every year, hundreds are killed, thousands are badly hurt, and millions live their lives under shadow of discrimination and disapproval. That is an outrage.
However, progress is being made. Over the past year, three more countries have decriminalized gay relationships: Mozambique, the Seychelles, and the Pacific island of Nauru. Almost 40 countries now legally recognize same-sex couples. And in the past 18 months alone, wider reforms have been enacted across the world in countries like Bolivia, Chile, Colombia, Ireland, Italy, Malta, Norway, and Ukraine. The Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, said the world had to thank people like Caleb Orozco for advocating so courageously for change.
Caleb, you faced organizational opposition and you had a lot of moral courage, but you had physical courage to do what you did. You knew your life would be threatened. We owe you and all those folks who had the courage to stand up and say, "Here I am. Look at me. Here I am. I demand the exact same right as everyone else in my country." So thank you, thank you, thank you.
But despite the bravery of individuals like Caleb Orozco to change homophobic laws, the UN chief said there are still countries who refuse to recognize their moral duty to end discrimination.
Many governments refuse to acknowledge human rights abuses against LGBT people or accept responsibility for ending them. Several countries are bucking the tide of history with a draconian due punishment for being gay or even just talking about being gay.
Homosexuality is still outlawed in 73 countries, and change, although slow, is happening. The focus of the UN ministerial meeting was on the steps that governments can take to address that change. And while legislation is key, changing the mindset of people is also part of the process. And small, sometimes literal steps can be taken. Many delegates attending this and other meetings at the UN walked across a freshly painted crossing, decorated in the rainbow colours associated with the LGBT movement. It's an initiative of the US as host country and other like-minded member states of the UN. I went down to take a closer look. It's a somewhat rainy and overcast day here in New York, but the colours of the rainbow crossing are still bright in the gloom. The crossing on 1st Avenue and 46th Street leads to the entrance of the United Nations. I've been asking people attending meetings at the UN what they think of it.
Well, this is good because it's representing all the groups, and we have to support as a member of the UN.
Well, this is there.
Do you support it?
I have no opinion.
I think it's a very brave initiative. I'm from Ireland, so we, by popular referendum, voted in gay marriage this year, and I think anything that helps to be more inclusive is wonderful.
No, actually, I'm against that.
Charles Radcliffe is from the UN Human Rights Office.
The crossing in these vibrant rainbow colours is really a way, firstly, to celebrate the diversity and the fight for equality for members of the lesbian, gay, bi, trans community around the world. But it's also a way to remind delegates coming here to the UN this week for the opening of the General Assembly that the fight for LGBT equality goes on, that right around the world, LGBT people are still marginalised, still suffer discrimination and violence. Putting that right is part of the job of this big institution behind me, the UN.
Can you appreciate that there are some people who will feel very uncomfortable about this?
Whenever there's an issue that's seen as sensitive, whether it's culturally sensitive or sensitive on religious grounds, yes, people can find those discussions uncomfortable. But in the end, the reason why we have a United Nations is to bring together different perspectives and to try to hammer these things out. We have consensus that everyone, every human being, is entitled to the same rights, to fair treatment, to equal rights. And insofar as they're not getting that, we have to talk about it. We can't just shirk issues because they make people feel uncomfortable.
Charles Radcliffe from the UN Human Rights Office, thanks very much. And the crosswalk will remain here until the end of the week. This is Daniel Dickinson at United Nations headquarters. You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Daniel Dickinson.